Good morning, Mabel Louise.
Good
How are you?
morning, and it's a good day because I'm with you today. And Pat, your father is doing better.
That's
he's doing
right.
okay.
That's
ma'am. Good.
I'm glad
I'm
to
so
hear.
Glad.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Well, it's good to be with you, as I just said, and I hope that you're ready to be hearing about what children need most in their lives. I don't know if you've enjoyed this particular series or not, but it's been a blessing for me to refresh my memory, as since I'm a grandmother now and a great grandmother, all of these things have just been popping through my mind of suggestions through the years of counseling that I've done, and of course, the experience of having four children of my own, 11 grandchildren, and now 6 great grandchildren. All so precious, and learning, learning, learning. And let me remind you again that there are no perfect parents. That's right. No one is perfect, and we all need the wisdom of the Lord to know how to be a good grandmother, good great-grandmother, good parent. And so maybe this is something that is helping you. I've had emails and letters asking for copies of my material, and I'm delighted to be able to send it to you. The only problem I face is I do not have it in my computer vault. And if you need a copy, just send a self-addressed stamped envelope here to the radio station, and I will be delighted to return the envelope filled with what children need most in their lives. And let me just review just by saying the ones that I've covered so I don't spend a lot of time on that. But the number one thing that I've already discussed was love. Children need to know that they're loved, not only saying it, but showing it. They need a mom and a dad to laugh with them and to really show genuine love for their children. Then number two was they need stability. That's being there for the children. And of course, stability is a mom and a dad working together, sharing the family responsibilities. And it's a home where the children feel accepted and they can easily express themselves. They can share their dreams and their ideas and not fear that they're going to be rejected. And then the number three was consistency. And of course, that means keeping your walk up with your talk or practicing what you preach. And if a parent wants to be a blessing to a child, they need to watch their walk and watch their talk. So, and also consistency is both parents using the same discipline rules. And my added 2 cents to this is that is one of the most needed area for counseling, because so many times there's a strong disciplinarian, maybe the mother or the father, and one who is more gentle, and the confusion for the child is something else. So they need to enforce the boundaries and the rules together. And these rules must be made in private before the children know about them, as the parents agreeing and then presenting them to the children together. Then the number fourth one, which I covered, was the example. In healthy families, parents do not expect children to live up to standards that they themselves do not maintain. For instance, let's say you tell the children they need to go to church, but you never attend, something like that. Attitudes and actions are learned. They are not inborn. And often those things that displease parents most about their children, now listen, maybe there's something that just bugs you that your children do, remember, they could be the weaknesses of the parent. Think about it. Then on my last broadcast, I covered discipline. And I'd already covered 9 ways to provoke your children to wrath, and I did cover a number of the verses and the information concerning discipline. But discipline is making sure that your children know the boundaries that are established by you as their parents. And they need the boundaries need to be discussed openly with the children so that they fully understand what you mean. And then you need to follow through and make them stick. Don't be afraid to say no. And don't let your children debate with you. They're a little psychologists. They'd like to argue with you. They'd like to confront you. They'd like to debate with you. But many times, and most of the time, you need to refer to the boundaries that you've already set and not get by with excuses. If you give in to a child, then that means that they're going to try their best to get you to change your mind every time. So remember, when a parent finds himself trying to correct your children, listen up, by hollering and screaming, that means you are failing in your discipline. You don't need to scream and holler if you have made it clear what the children's boundaries are. So let me just remind you that little tidbit for the number 5 discipline. Now today it's number 6, and it's approval. Approval means teaching your child that they are super special to the Lord and super special to you as their parent. A child can grow up thinking that they're only special to their parents when, after all, they are more special to the Lord because He made them. And be sure to praise the children more than you criticize them. It's so easy, isn't it, to nag and pick and just begin to holler and scream, as I just said, and criticize your children, when all the time, maybe you need to do a Suzanne Wesley, what she did, my earthly hero. She spent one hour a week with each of her children, talking to them about their good points, their bad points, making sure they've learned the scriptures, and just praising them and encouraging them and pointing out to the child their gifts and their characteristics, and of course, how you approve of them and you love them and how special they are. Well, I thought it was sure good to look up some verses, because the Bible, again, has many, many promises that they are handmade by the Lord. And if you recall on my series on provoking children to wrath, I did read Psalm 139, which is one of my favorites. It talks about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I just want to read that again and then give you some more promises. That's not the only one in the Bible, because the Lord wanted to make sure that you understand that you are handmade by Him alone. He made you, He loves you, and He wants you to glorify Him because of it. And I'll give you a scripture proof of that. But let me just quickly read verse 13 through 17 of Psalm 139. And if you recall, let me remind you, if you have a little girl, a daughter, and she's prone to want to follow the trends of the world as far as lack of clothing, shall I say, and wanting to follow the fashions of the world and making that a big deal in her life, remind her that God made her the way she is. Maybe she's complaining about big ears or big nose or big hips or whatever, and you can remind her that she's specially made by the Lord as a result of this beautiful portion of Scripture. And also for the guys. Some of the guys want to follow the fashions. There's nothing wrong with that, to look nice. But when it becomes a big deal and you can't afford all the fashions, then maybe you need to remind your children that they are specially made and they are beautiful to you and beautiful to the Lord. Quickly here, for thou hast possessed my reins. David, the psalmist, is speaking here. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance, meaning my tissues, my body, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and cautiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, being born in sin, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. There you go. They were all continued, put together, and fashioned by the Lord. Before there was none of them. And he says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And you know, children just need to identify their body the way they are, their characteristics and all, to give glory to the Lord. And you should post this verse somewhere, tuck it in your Bible. If you've got a pencil nearby, write this particular one down, because it tells you and your children that they are made by the Lord to glorify the Lord. Did you get it? Yes. They are made to serve and to love the Lord. So listen to it. Let me read it to you right quick. Isaiah 43:7. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him or her for my glory. Why were you created? To give glory to the Lord. I have formed you, yea, I have made you. What a beautiful verse to be able to give to your children, to let them know how special they are made. And you know, children are so precious. You can follow through with that and say there's so many precious promises that God has given, that he wants you to know how you are specially made and formed. And Jesus even went on to say, and you can follow through with this, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You can say, you are so super special to the Lord. And he went on to say, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. So what he's saying here, we all have to come to the Lord as a little child. And what's he talking about there? Well, there's nothing, absolutely nothing more beautiful than a little child praying to Jesus. I just get pimples when I hear my great-grandchildren pray, fold their little hands, and say the table prayer, and to pray for others. It's just precious. And they have such great tenderness and faith. What a shame to not take advantage of their little tender open hearts and fail to give them the knowledge that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them, and that Jesus wants them to accept him as his Savior and to glorify him because he made them the way they are. And they really need to know that they are handmade by the Lord. And I have about 6 or 7 verses that I looked up that really follow through with the promises. And I'm not sure I can give you all before I go off the air, but at least let me give you a couple of them. Job said in Job 31:15, did not he, meaning God, that made me in the womb make him, and did not God fashion us in the womb? God gave life to each of us. That's what he did. Then the psalmist wrote, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels, and my praise shall be continually of thee. The psalmist wrote that. And then Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Think about that. The Lord thought of you before you were ever conceived. Amazing, isn't it? That's how special you are. Do you know that today? The Lord, you're special to the Lord, but is the Lord special to you? He goes on and says, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I set you apart, or sanctified you, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations, speaking to Jeremiah 1:5. Well, it's been so great to be with you. God bless you, and tune in again. I have some more for what children need most in their lives. Bye-bye now.